Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Welcome to the MMA Roadshow, episode number 486. My name is John Morgan, and Cole Coffee is with me here in Las Vegas, where, bro, I don't even know what the hell to say is going on right now. The heat continues.
The heat continues.
We had that insane day of 120. We actually got 7 straight days of 115 or higher. But it's actually cooled off, which is ridiculous to say. I think it's only about 104 right now, and it's raining outside.
Yeah,
like this is bizarre. Just the rain is pouring down, and it feels humid, and this is not what we're used to.
I think I think I feel the humidity kind of creeping into a little bit. But it's so funny.
And the thunder rolls.
And the thunder rolls.
It's rolling in the background.
It's so funny with the heat now getting hotter. My mom, we have our weekly little phone calls, and she always brings up the weather. She's like, I've been Googling your weather. Because they're just like, they see the numbers, and they're just like, this is not, doesn't make any sense. You know, like, so when they get like in the 80s and 90s, they're like, yeah, it's really hot out here. They're like, but they obviously know that we're much higher. So it's like a circus act. They just like, they're like, I wonder what it is out in Vegas today.
100%.
You know? So when it comes up, it gives us something to talk about, which is always funny. But
that's when you know you're getting old.
Yeah. How's that weather?
How's the weather? It's funny because our phone calls, I'm lucky enough that we talk frequently, that it's not like we need to catch up on a lot of
That's
shit.
Nice.
So it our phone calls usually last like 10 minutes max, if that, you know, after we've got through the weather, after we've got through how's work, how are the pets, then it's like, okay, well, I just want to check on you. I'll talk to you later.
I get
and
it.
I love it that we have it. You know, I cherish those calls, you know, but it's just so funny.
My mom actually
don't talk about a lot.
My mom actually writes questions down to remember to ask me. But, like, most of them are, like, MMA related these days, which
That's
is crazy.
Because
she slowly over the years morphed into an actual fan of the sport because she just used to watch it to keep up with me. And now she's like, what did so-and-so say about this? And what did they, you know what I mean?
What's John Silva's real ideal weight class? Where do you see him? Do you like him better as a featherweight, or are you thinking he's a lightweight?
Now, she's not quite that hardcore yet. That would be hilarious at that point. I'm like,
What
is going on? But it's always great to – as you said, it's always good to have those conversations and catch up with family. So, monsoon season going on right now. Now, listen, we are a day later than normal. Normally, we get together on Wednesdays, but I am proud to say
– It's not your fault.
It's not my fault. Yeah. I mean, a lot of the scheduling issues lately have been me because my schedule is
weird. That would be 99.5% of them.
99.5% of the problems are me. There's no question about it. But I'm not on quite the routine that I used to be anymore where it's just straight to fight week. But no, this time it was your fault, so I'm just going to put the blame squarely on you.
I will put that on my shoulders.
And I do want to talk about some things, but first, what was going on yesterday? I think when we initially talked about this, you were like, hey, we might have to go a little bit late, but you weren't really sure, I don't think, exactly.
It came on so last minute, it was like, I don't even know what's going on. I'm just getting a call from the boss that says, hey, there's going to be this convention next week. Can you shoot it? I think we want to do a live stream with Junkie Radio. And it was like, okay, well, I can do those things. What is this? Okay, well, let me tell you. And it felt like they didn't even really know fully what it was. But it was called SACON, and that is a combination of sports, entertainment, innovation convention.
And I'm looking at your press pass right here. It says, where the world's leading sports, entertainment, and innovation leaders gather. And that sounds
for
like
the first time.
Is this the first one?
It was the first one. They're hoping
that sounds like a very broad list of topics: sports, entertainment, and innovation.
It is crazy when you think about it. So, sports. Obviously, USA Today Sports. Obviously, there were a lot of teams there. The Aces had some people there. The Raiders had some people there. you know, talking about a lot of, it depends on what they were actually talking about. The UFC actually had their people there. So at one point, the very first keynote on Wednesday, which was the big day that we were there, had Lawrence Epstein, had Pete Dropick, and Matt Cohn, the Thrill Sports one, the guy that's in charge of the UFC's, like the SLS.
Right.
All those little, like, sort of, like,
motorsport
stuff.
That's the new venture with
stuff.
The Fertittas.
Yeah.
They,
so,
yeah.
Like, Donald Cerrone, when he's, like, driving the race car stuff, that's for, like, these guys or whatever. Right. So, they were all up in there. So, like...
Did you get to hear the speeches?
I did. Yeah? I did. I actually was shooting a bunch of B-roll because we were supposed to... Oh, this leads into another crazy story. I was shooting B-roll because we were supposed to get interviews with Epstein and Dropick afterwards per the convention organizers.
Right.
So, turns out that while the convention organizers said that they had it set, they didn't really have it set. They didn't talk to the right people. So, when we saw Brian Smith and the others, there, I was like, hey, because I saw Brian,
Go
I was like,
Smith.
I was like,
Smith.
I was like, hey, Brian, you know, you do some interesting stuff. Maybe we'll get to interview you too after we interview, you know, Dropick and Epstein.
For anybody that doesn't know, he does PR, but on the corporate side of things.
Yeah, on the corporate side of things. He was like, wait, you're interviewing who? I was like, Epstein and Dropick. I was like, but no, but I'm asking about you. I'd like to get talk about you. He's like, oh, no, I'm not. And he's like, wait, but you're getting Epstein and Dropick? And I'm like, bro, it's already set. It's already all set. I was like, and I was like, I got to go shoot this, but I'll be back later because this was like while they were doing the speech. Turns out they did not actually have the right thing. So at the when they came down to bring them into our USA Today sports room, broadcast room studio that looks very like broadcasty at that time.
Right.
They were like, what are we talking about? What's going on here? I was like, you know, just talk about the sphere, talk about business stuff, you know, blah, 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 just the generic whatever. And I know these guys are the matchmakers, so they're not going to talk about matchmakers, stuff like that, blah, blah, blah. And at some point, Epstein, he had a hard out because he had to go to the plane. He just, I think at some point he's like, yeah, I don't want to do this. And he's like, Pete'll do it. So this is where it starts getting.
Well, Lawrence dumps it on Pete.
Yeah, so this is where it starts getting interesting. Great. So and I was filming another interview and like I was prepping for something else. And that, so I knew that. So I got the word that, okay, Epstein's out. We're going to get Dropick. And then there's Matt Cohn guys there. And I was like, okay, cool, whatever. So at the time when Epstein put it on to Dropick, the organizer came into the room and was like, oh, where's Lawrence? Where's Epstein? And they're like, well, he backed out. He's going to whatever. And he happened to be right by B. Smith. And I guess the organizer was just like, what? Oh, man, that's terrible. He said he was going to do this. And sort of just like blah, 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 blah. Then all of a sudden, now – I think either it's B. Smith call or whatever, or somebody was like, well, Dropick is not doing it either because of whatever organizer said pissed him off because he wasn't happy. The organizer wasn't happy that Epstein wasn't doing it because the organizer told us. I think they went and they thought it was all set and everything.
Right.
So they probably felt like, oh, well, I just fucking lied to USA Today, you know, because I had this all set up. So he was getting tough.
Like he was like, without knowing, realizing, like, bro, we've dealt with these guys a million 100%. Times. We can reschedule this tomorrow.
Like it's not a big deal.
Like we can do this tomorrow.
So little did he know that he's having his little flare up next to the guy that's right next to the guy that is with the UFC that's there to kind of help shepherd these guys around. So then all of a sudden now we lose Dropick as well. But they're like, well, here's Matt Cohn. And we're like, the guy we didn't really want.
Like, no disrespect, like, but we don't really cover thrills.
Like, we wanted to
like,
talk about sports. The sphere. We wanted to talk because even when they did their keynote, Lawrence got very animated and excited talking about the sphere and all the other stuff. And I was like, that's cool. Let's get that on camera, you know? So, yeah, the day started crazy with all that kind of stuff. So we didn't get half the stuff we want. But that was partially like – so that gives you an idea of – so, like, people in sports that are innovating, creating these new things, using all the technology. And so them up there talking about how the UFC does things and how it innovates and how the sphere using all these different little sort of technologies and stuff. And then you'd see other companies. There was one of these one that won the award. So say you are an athlete and you're trying to – establish yourself, and there's so many, and you don't know what agent, you don't have the agent, or maybe you're not ready, but maybe you're starting to field some offers or something, and you're just like, what do I even possibly do? You can take some of the information, say if somebody gives you an idea or a contract, an idea or something, you can upload it, and it'll sort of tell you based on your locality, certain things that you need to look for, maybe things that are beneficial to you, items that maybe other, you know, like key things to like when it comes to pay, maybe longevity, other little things that it'll pour through documents for you and kind of become like a, I don't want to say AI, but it's got to use some of the sort of things. So like using technology so that you're not without, in a sense, an agent, that it can make this make that whole scene better for you using technology. So that's just one little sort of thing.
It's funny you say, because I know that like leaning on the term AI is like people are calling everything AI when it's not actually AI, but machine learning, I guess. And like it is great use of being able to pour over all that information, right? It's like, you know, people joke about like YouTube University or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, here's an opportunity for you to get knowledge that 10 years ago, 20 years ago, people wouldn't have because this thing can process all these documents, can look over contracts, can look over news, can look over whatever, and give you information. So
and
you
just spit it out in
instantly,
in seconds.
And you're armed and you know what to ask and you know what to negotiate. You know, that's brilliant.
I mean, it was when I heard that, I was like, because there were like five or six winners that they brought at the very end of the day that were these innovation winners, and that was one of the ones, and I was like, holy cow, like that's pretty darn spectacular.
It's even great for people in like normal jobs.
In normal jobs.
That don't know, you know, you're trying to get a job, you've never worked in an industry before, you've never worked at that level of position, and you don't know what to ask for, you don't know what to negotiate, you don't know, and it's scary, right? If am I asking for something ridiculous? Am I asking for something that's not normal, that's out of the range? Like, that's awesome.
And I think the reason that people are probably leaning, why it's developing in sports first, is because there's money.
Yeah, oh,
there's money
yeah.
in the sports thing. But you're absolutely correct. Like, I think anything that's just unsure, we go to the most people go to the
web
to try to Google.
Ask for 42,000 or 44,000. Yeah,
you know, and then even so, you know, how many days off are they? Should they be allowed? How many vacation days?
Yeah.
What is the typical? Are there any like parenting rights? You know, does this locale give you this? So that was one little thing. And then say on the entertainment, there was some guys that came in and got interviewed that had created a movie about the sports process of sort of getting involved, almost following people that were from the underdevelopment league all the way up to where they were signing with the pro. Like, I guess they've been filming on this movie for like 11 years. So they almost saw like a whole process, a whole generation of people go through this thing. So there's the entertainment side as well, partially, but related to sports. They had like Stanford was one of the schools behind it. Stanford, I want to say maybe Princeton or somebody else, but they actually had like some gamers set up in this one room that actually competed against each other, like video game gamers and stuff like that. So they had all kinds of little stuff, but it was
neat.
That's cool. So they had like these breakout sessions, and then it was all about collaboration, talking with people, and then hopefully networking and, you know, have people move forward and create other things. So there were a lot of venture capitalists, a lot of people that were involved with sports that were doing that stuff. UNLV was one of the people behind this as well. Their School of Technology or Innovation or something, I forget what the name is. It was on one of the banners somewhere. This guy, I forget what his last name, Jay, he was one of the guys that helped co-found the idea of SACON and put it together. But their whole thing with this collaboration, so say they had these classrooms that were on each side of this main conference room that just had a bunch of tables set out, and the idea, instead of them exiting out into the main throughputs of the hotel or in the convention area, they made all the rooms dumped into this big room with the idea of, hey, you just met somebody in this class, maybe you have an idea. Well, here, go in this room. Here, book a table or sit on one of these tables. Start working on ways that how you could possibly work together in the future, networking and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
So it was all based around trying to have this collaboration sort of stuff. So they're hoping it'll be the first of some to go. But for us, it was just kind of weird because it sprang up out of nowhere. For Sport USA Today Sports to be one of the bigger people behind it, I think it got dumped on our boss's boss. His lap, like, hey, this is
like
going on. Can you make this something happen? And so we got roped into it, and then they had the idea of, well, hey, maybe we'll have
MMA. Don't we have people in Vegas?
Don't we have people in Vegas?
Right.
And then so the idea was to have Junkie Radio stream live from the studio on Wednesday, but then when you start putting the logistics of trying to arrange talent,
didn't make sense.
You know, it just didn't make sense. And when we got there with the bandwidth, it would have been terrible anyways, but we ended up just doing a lot of videos to tape. But we actually got some great people. It's funny, the two people that they had set up for us, we end up not getting. So luckily, we end up bringing our own. We had our own lined up people that we set up. Junkie Radio set up with Chris Curtis, had Misha Tate popped on there, Mark Ratner, Stitch, Duran.
Were they all a part of this conference, or
We said, hey, USA Today is putting on this convention down here at the thing. You know, you want to come rub elbows and see something different that's going on in town.
Yeah, yeah.
And when I approached the UFC and said, hey, you know, USA Today has this convention going on. Do you have some prelim fighters? There's a couple prelim fighters we'd love to chat with. If you're looking to get them some press and get them out fight week, here's this big old thing that we're going to have down here.
Yep.
And Miranda stepped up. Miranda wanted to do it, and she came down. And what makes sense for her, too, Miranda has her own, like, pickle business, and she has all this other stuff. So I think
– I didn't even know that.
She's, like, really big. She's actually just made a Bloody Miranda sauce or Bloody Miranda juice for, like
Bloody Mary mix?
Yeah. But yeah, she does her own pickles and stuff like that, and there's some
other
things.
That's hilarious. That's awesome.
She's actually she's raised bees since she was like a kid, so she like works with like local honey people. So she actually has a honey line that she's working with like different restaurants and stuff.
Good for her.
She said when she was like 12 years old, I think, or something like that, she saved some money up. And what's funny because when I was 12, I had my allowance obviously was nothing. I didn't save anything. She's like, when I was 12, I saved up and I took my first like few thousand and I bought like, and I was like, wait, few what? How old? What was your allowance? You know, she bought like 3 beehives when she was like a kid and like learned to love like taking care of bees. She talked about how when the very first time she didn't have her suit fully on, she got stung right in the forehead. She said it looked like, she said she thought it was like Elephant Man, but one of the radio boys was like, you mean like Joanna? And she's like, yeah, like that. You know, it's like she swelled up. She's like, so I figured out I was allergic to bees, but not like deathly allergic my throat closed. She's like, I just got a deformed head where it stung me. But it made sense for her. I think she probably looked at what the convention was and a lot of people. And I saw her talking to this Jay guy from UNLV and some other people.
Good for her.
It would have been the perfect place for her to start networking about her business and other stuff. Like, that's what this place
was about.
You know,
it's so smart, man, because, you know, I know that, you know, Joe Silva is the one that I always used to hear say it, and Dana has started to say it lately, too, where we talk about fighting not being a career but being an opportunity, right?
Yep.
And I know people take that as, you know, offensive or whatever, but this is what it's referring to. It's like, look, it might be really hard for you to just be like cold call somebody and be like, hey, I have a local bee business and a pickle business. Can I talk to you? And they're like, what? But if you're like, hey, I'm a UFC fighter. Seen me, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Out there flexing. And oh, by the way, I do this pickle business and this bee business. You want to get in business with me? And it's like, bro, she's a UFC fighter. Yeah, I want to do some, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, you bring this little cachet to the business relationship, and that's beautiful to see her leverage it and to understand.
And even like interview stuff. You have a lot of fighters like, oh, it's fight week, I don't want to deal with media. Okay, yes, you can go on your social media, you could pump your pickles, you could do your whatever. How about if a media outlet says, hey, I want to interview you, use that as an opportunity to promote your business.
100%.
You know,
I'll only
like,
do it if – and by the way, just put that out there. If any athletes are listening, that happens all the time.
All the time.
Where companies will say, hey – I mean, I remember one – gosh, remember we talked to Francis Ngannou one time, and it was a body armor, right? And they were – you know, it's
sure.
Just like, hey – you know, we'd love to set you up with Francis Ngannou at the PI. Like, just can you mention body armor during it? And we're like, yeah.
Yeah, we just signed a deal with them, you know, with this new whatever, something like that. You know, would you like to speak with them? And then when you start the interview, you're like, oh, hey, that's great. We heard you had this signed this new deal with body
and
armor.
And it doesn't mean that the entire interview has to be about that product, but as a courtesy for that person arranging it, you mention the product.
Yeah.
So if it's your own company, you can absolutely say, tell you what. Boy, I tell you, you know, Tito Ortiz used to do that.
Yep.
He would say, you can't interview me unless, like, he would do things like, say, if I do an interview with you, will you put a banner ad on your website for Punishment Athletics? Or, you know what I mean? Which, it's smart business. You know what I mean? Like, hey, this is my company. If I'm going to give you my time, we're going to talk about my career, and you're going to be generating revenue off these clicks, and you're going to be generating traffic off these views, then I need you to mention my business as well.
Let me get something from it.
Man, that's awesome.
I mean?
And good for her.
Yeah, I mean, and that was the epitome. I'm like, I was so glad that we got her. And it's funny because, like, I've seen some interviews with her where sometimes she can be kind of short, but this one, her interviews were nice and long. She was talking about, the radio
stuff
guys.
She was passionate about.
That's it. The radio guys did a really good job of sort of just giving her a platform to let her talk about, you know, her pickles and her things. And that's the great shit. Like, I think most fighters, a lot of times, fight week, you know, if they are struggling with a weight cut or whatever, don't ask technique. They don't want to talk technique. They don't want to talk about the weight cut. They want to think about something else. And if they have something else going on, hey, let's talk about it, you know, because half of us, half the time, we want to talk about something different anyways. We just don't know what to talk about.
I think the Junkie Radio guys have always been so good at that. I know some that when I was working for Junkie, there were some times where I was like, I was frustrated because I'm like, well, what am I going to write about? I don't have a hook here. I don't have a headline because I'm thinking from a writer's perspective of I need something that I can make a headline out of. I need news that I can write up a recap. Yep. But from the perspective of just making the athletes comfortable and just getting to see the human being and getting to hear a little bit about them, those guys are really good at doing that.
Yeah. Well, I told them, I was like, they're like, what do you think, like 10 minutes? I was like, bro, well, it's not like you need to tell those guys to go long. But I was like, the UFC went out of their way to bring her here.
Let's go longer.
Go longer.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, please. Like, I was like, 15, 20 minutes, you know, whatever.
Right.
I was like, that's fine. I was like, they went there. I mean, they shuttled her over. So they had a PR guy and they had a security guy.
Oh, wow.
With her as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, it's funny because somebody there was like, you know, it's funny that the UFC person needs a security. I was like, bro, it's not about the fight. It's about just helping them get through.
Right.
You know, like.
So, hey, let them be. The security guy gets to be the bad guy.
It's yes,
no,
exactly.
Please go away. Yeah, yeah.
But it was funny. But I appreciate the fact that the UFC decided to do that.
Her,
so, I was like, dude, give her some time to talk about her thing. And it was great. I love that she – and we didn't – I didn't know – I knew about the pickles. It had been a while. But I to hear that – the fact that she's developing new products at the same time. So, like, she's really all in on it with the honey stuff. So, it was, like, interesting things that you never just like a
like
fun
that.
Gem that came out of the whole crazy day that we were going in over there.
We at CFFC, we have an internship program with Rowan University. So I'm working with some college students that are interested in working in sports operations and sports PR.
Awesome.
And so like I'm working with training them and helping them. And one of the guys, he's been doing some interviews. And it's funny because he has made it like a standard in his interviews to ask like where somebody's where their nickname came from. Now, he's not a huge like MMA guy. He's a sports guy, but he's learning MMA. But he's like, how did you give yourself your nickname? And I'm like, well, usually you don't give yourself a nickname like somebody else does or whatever. But anyway, it's funny to hear those stories in those, but I heard one that was so great this week. So we got a guy named Max Quiñones who's a talented flyweight. I think he'll be in the UFC in the very near future.
Quiñones is his nickname?
No. It's
Quiñones. Quiñones.
It's actually the Candyman. And yeah, it's
so, equally dirty.
So it's funny. So he's a candy man. And he always like comes in with like these flashy hairstyles. Like the barber that he goes to does like crazy stuff. And he's fun. He's really outspoken. But I don't know. I mean, again, the candy man. I don't know. But he asked where he came from. It turns out when he was in high school, he heard an interview with like some artist or something that said they started out by selling candy in school. And he was always asking his mom for money to like go to the movies and stuff. And he was like, huh. He's like, so I got $20 from my mom. I went to Walmart. I bought candy. He was like, and I doubled up my money on that. Then he was like, I found somebody that had a connection at a wholesaler warehouse that I could get an employee discount as well as use coupons. So now I could like 4-to-1 my money.
Yeah.
And so like he started investing and like just and he's like it built that kind of grinding mentality in me that I still have in my MMA career. But he's like, but that's how I was the candy man because I always had candy on me in high school. And I'm like. That's dope. You know what I mean? I love seeing that just passion and drive and hustle and grind to make it work, you know? So that's cool.
Funny.
Well, good for you, man. That sounds like fun. Maybe next year.
It was different.
Honestly, man, I would like to come check that out next year. So
I was literally stuck in our little broadcast room, like shooting interviews. I feel bad that I didn't get around to like actually see some of the stuff because when I heard later on like these innovation awards that went out, I would have loved to have seen some of the demos. There was, you know – one of them, the innovation winners, did something because I remember they talked about they took Nate, one of our VPs who was there, who was actually doing the interviews. They took his blood and they were checking markers in the blood that could check like stress levels and other sort of stuff. So these are sort of tests they could work on athletes and all this other stuff. It was just fantastic, but I would have loved to have seen that if I had more time to get around. So I think it's only going to grow. And if you could still go to the website, SEI. Was it seicon.org, SEICON.org, or something along those lines?
See, like, the participants.
You can see the participants. And,
nice.
And the list of, like, the companies, it's pretty darn impressive. But as for, like, some of the highlight interviews, we had Michael Jordan's longtime agent. We interviewed him. Pete Rose, that was really, really
cool.
Jasmine Jordan's daughter, who runs another venture capital something that's along with the Jordan name. One of the VPs over at the Aces. boy, she had this ring. I'll have to show you a picture.
Championship ring.
Oh, my Lord. Sick. It is sick. And it's even got the angel. So it's all, it's just round, just diamonds, diamonds, diamonds. But right in the middle, you see like the Aces insignia in it. That's just
looks super cool.
It's so badass. And then I'm trying to think of their other major name. But it was really, really cool. It was that very, was awesome. Very unique. But yeah, it was definitely something that I hope it comes back. Because I think it'd be something that'd be very, very cool. And I think it'd be something that we'd maybe see more people get involved once they know it. I think they didn't do a great job of, like, promoting it here in town.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't hear about it.
I didn't hear about it either.
Yeah, at all. So.
But that's tough sometimes, getting the word out. Sometimes you got to get that proof of concept, get one in the can, and then you can market a little bit more. Now you got materials and stuff. So, well, that's cool. If they have it again, I'd like to come check that out. So, you know, it's funny. One thing, you were talking about that blood work. I haven't heard about this in a while, and I think I would assume. But you remember, because we used to go see the we haven't been over there in a long time, but like the Cleveland Clinic, you know, we used to go over there. And
I was just thinking the other day because we were talking about Epstein, and I was, because his family was very highly involved with that.
But I remember like one of the things they were trying to do was, and I don't think this, well, it is the Cleveland Clinic, but it's not just because of combat sports, but I think they were working the NFL and stuff. But they had identified some precursors at the cellular level for CTE so that if you had these precursors, like they would know to test your brain activity more, or at least you could be warned,
you should check into this sort of
stuff. This probably isn't necessarily maybe the best career path for you because you have these precursors. And this was like not signs of damage, like signs of your genetics have a tendency to get CTE more easily than somebody else.
Yeah, because you've seen tests. I had a friend, I forget what the disease or whatever, but her mother had to get her breast removed because of, I don't know if it was cancer or something along those lines.
Where they know that you should just do
she
it
knew,
ahead of
time. So she did it ahead of time because of stuff like that.
Yep. That stuff is pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. I mean, and even now, like when you think about, like, I'm at the age where typically now they would start telling you go get colonoscopies every, a couple years or something like that. But now they could test your blood to see if these markers are in your blood to tell you where your elevated levels to where you're like, hey, you should probably go. And they've figured out that your body, if you're not exhibiting any signs, you won't have these things present in your body. So rather than go have somebody put a glove on and finger your butthole, you could just go get blood. You know, and it's funny because when my doctor told me that, he's like, well, we can just schedule some blood work. He's like, unless you'd like somebody. I was like, no, let's do the blood work. But I guess I respect that he offered me the option. You know?
Well, Doc, I feel like we ought to be thorough.
Doc, I'm a bit of a dry spell. You know, let's get a little something something.
That's great. All right, so
it's amazing, man, what science and the technology is out there, and it just makes sense that this day and age, especially with sports and other stuff. I think the technology and the medical, all that sort of stuff, it's going to go where the money is.
Yeah, yeah.
And when you try to think of any big major thing in our society that people are paying attention to, it's sports.
100%.
You know, so sports, it's a good way of sports to help maybe change the environment for the majority of people, you know, like if people are inventing money and putting it into it. And then if that technology and stuff can make its way to us little people off to the side, then it's good.
That's great, man. That's cool. I'll have to check it out. And by the way, I should say, with all that being said, the most important piece of content that came out of it was a birthday message to Bert Watson, right? I saw you put that together. That was very kind of you, sir.
It was awesome. I'm so glad I put that, like, because I didn't get to check, like, I don't check Facebook that often anymore, and I don't think I was even on Twitter the whole day. So if it wasn't from like my Google Calendar popping up reminding me that it was Bert's birthday, I would have completely spaced on it. But luckily, I saw that early in the morning, and I knew we were getting some of the fighters, so it was just like, oh, this would be the best birthday present rather than just call him or whatever. And I was telling Morgan before we started taping, I had sent Bert a message on Twitter, but it was like around 6 o'clock at night, so I'm thinking like, oh, man, it's like 9 o'clock. He might already be asleep. Right. So I sent him a text, and I was like, Bert, check your Twitter. That's it. Just check your Twitter. Call me back later. And I didn't really see anything. So I was like, should I just fucking call him? So I was like, all right, I'm going to call. So I give him a call. And he answers the phone. And he's kind of sounds sort of groggy a little bit. He's like, I was like, oh, Bert, it's not too late, right? He's like, oh, no, I'm up. He's like, I saw that phone ringing. So, of course, I had to pick it up. And I was like, you sound like you're kind of almost like sleeping. Or he's like, well, you know, I'm in the bed. He's like, but I usually do this. You know, he's like, I'm always gone to bed early or whatever. So, but he's like, but I'm in bed and I'm watching TV. And if you guys haven't heard us say this and joke again, this is like a fun, like, trivia fact Bert's like, can you guess what I'm watching? And I was like, I don't know, Bert. What are you watching? He's like, Gunsmoke.
A man is a Gunsmoke aficionado.
Loves Gunsmoke. Gunsmoke, and for most people that have no idea what Gunsmoke is, it's an old black and white. Maybe they started making color by the end of it. I think they probably went back and probably like changed it. But I want to say when it originally started, it was black and white. But it's a Western, old Western show. And Bert loves it. He's had to have seen every episode a 100 times, but he still watches it.
He watches it over and over.
I'm watching Gunsmoke, so if anybody ever asks you what Burt Watson's favorite TV show is, it's Gunsmoke.
It is Gunsmoke. It was on from 1955 to 1975.
That's a lot.
That's a
lot. My dad loved Gunsmoke. I saw some of the episodes when I was a kid, but they were all reruns by that point. So.
For sure.
But it was great. But no, he was floored. We were lucky enough to have Ratner, which I knew was a big friend of Bert's,
yep.
And Stitch and Bert go way back. So having them and then having some of the fighters. And I was talking with you, and you even brought up too, one of the first things that you noticed about the video was like Bert's been gone for so long, the changing of the guard.
Yeah, it did. When I watched the video, that was one of the first things that occurred to me. I was like, wow. It just realized some of these people haven't worked with them before.
Yeah.
Like they may know who the man is, or you know they may have heard of him,
or heard stories.
Or
if they watched videos, maybe when they were starting up, or like when they wanted to get into the sport. Or
it's so true, man. And Bert was such an iconic part of the scene, man. Like I mean, we've talked about it before, but there was something cool about you know the way he commanded the locker room. And I know that he rubbed some people wrong sometimes.
Sure.
Like he was very rigid.
He was a Marine.
He was very militaristic in his approach. Yeah. He was very rigid, you know, early is on time is late, that kind of stuff.
Yep.
But the fighters absolutely loved him. And the way he commanded the back area and the locker room and the way he made them feel, you know, like special and taken care of and looked after, you know what I mean? Like
he's
it
the
was
ultimate
cool.
hype man, like right and walking out, like that whole we rolling, that whole speech right before he get out, don't leave it to the judges, baby.
They'll only make you cry, you know what I mean? It's like, and I don't even want to imitate his voice because I would do a disservice, you know what I mean? But man, I can take myself back to being in the locker rooms at those times, like walking in the back hallways and hearing that. That was special, man. So that was cool of you to do that, man.
Yeah.
Did you see that he did Ariel's show this week?
No, I didn't.
Yeah. So because you've been busy.
What day is it? Wednesday? Tuesdays?
I don't know if it was. I'm not sure. He does 2 a week, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure what day it was.
That's awesome.
But he started naming some names over.
Oh, really?
All the stories that we knew for years.
Oh,
yeah, he dropped Mersh's name.
I have to go back and watch it.
I saw a clip on social media. I haven't watched the whole interview because I've been busy too. I didn't even get to make it to the media day yesterday because I was busy. But I happened to see that he dropped Mike Mersh's name, who obviously we knew and worked with as well.
Yeah.
And so we had heard some stories, and Bert came out and told some stories. So yeah,
I wonder why. What was the premise of bringing him
he's
on?
He's got a book coming out.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
he's got the book coming out.
And
so, is it out already?
I think so.
All right, I
thought he tweeted yesterday that it was available on, Amazon or something? But I think it might be out right now.
Let me check. I'm gonna buy it. I'm gonna buy that.
What's it called?
I'm looking for it right now.
It's called
Being Bert Watson.
Being
Greatness
Bert Watson.
Through a Legend's Eyes.
Yes.
It is on. And, oh, yeah. It came out July 4th. I didn't know it was already out. I thought it was still coming out.
But, yeah.
Oh, I'm ordering that today. Bert Watson, you got a customer. I'm ordering from Amazon. I'm going to get that delivered. He's the man.
Yeah, that's one I'll have to get for the bookshelf. But yeah, but I'm glad you reminded me to bring that. I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah, that was great. Bert's been a friend of ours. A friend of our show, a friend of Junkie, a friend of ours for a long time. But yeah, that dude means a lot. The originator of the cold coffee, baby.
The original. I mean, he came up with the name
the
cold
one.
Coffee.
He's the one.
He. I remember in Tokyo. This is my favorite Bert in game like exchange. I was in the media room. We were in Tokyo, and I was like the only media there, and I was working on stuff. And I was in there by myself, and this was just like early in the week, not fight night, but like early in the week. And I'm just sitting there working. He comes in, and he's just like, he doesn't even look at me. He's just like looking around. He's scanning the room. He's walking around. He's looking under tables and like scanning the room. And finally, I'm just like, Bert, like, what's going on? He's like, just looking for a random box. And I hit him back. I was like, aren't we all? And he's just he did a little double take. He was cracking up. That was good. And another time, I remember.
Aren't we all?
Aren't we
so
all?
True.
That was so funny. And another one, I remember. I flew. I think it was Belo Horizonte. If I remember, it was in Brazil. I know that. And it was one of those where, like, my flight got in at like 2 a.m. and like my room wasn't gonna be ready. Right? Like, it was weird because I was taking a cheap flight. And my room wasn't going to be ready, and, like, I was trying to save money for the company, so I didn't want to book an extra hotel room night. So PR was nice enough to – they were like, well, we've got, like, a room. Like, I was like, can you just leave a key at the front desk, and, like, I'll just go, like lay down in the PR room or whatever?
Yeah.
And they
when they used to use hotel rooms for, like, PR rooms.
Exactly, right? Yep. There's nothing in it, you know. Yep. It's just a room that they're going to use later or whatever. So they gave me, like, a conference room, not, like, a hotel room or whatever.
Oh, okay, because they've done both.
Yeah, they have done both. No, not, like, a hotel room. Yeah, they have done both before. Not a hotel room, just, like, a conference room. Yep. And they're like, yeah, we'll do it. So I got that, and I just came in, like – I just crawled up on the floor and sleeping. And I remember, like, a couple hours later, like, because, you know, Bert's first – I mean, he's the first one of the day. So he just walks in, just sees me, like – he's like, what the hell? And he, like, so, like, leans down and sees me laying on the floor and just starts shaking his head and walks out. I mean, he was the man, dude. Bert's the man.
That's awesome.
He's a good dude. All right, well, big news on – that's your big news, and I appreciate you sharing behind the scenes. I also have equally big news in that – I got a new phone, the iPhone 15, I guess, and I got new internet. They were offering. All right.
So you changed? Did you change providers?
I'm T-Mobile Wi-Fi now.
Oh, but you, oh, okay, but you're still T-Mobile.
Yeah, but I was I had Cox. I was paying $170 a month.
Yeah.
For Cox, T-Mobile right now. We're gonna see if this works.
Yeah.
T-Mobile wireless Wi-Fi or whatever, $50.
What is it? Have you done the test?
600 down, 60 up. I was getting a gig down and 100 up. Now I'm getting 600 and 60, but it's 50 instead of 170.
Yeah. Last time I checked, it wasn't available here. What you need to check, and this is what they always – when you see the people that gripe about it, the Coxes of the world.
Yeah.
They say, well, in busy hours, you watch your bandwidth go away.
Right.
Because they say that they prioritize it for the phone network at that particular point. Whatever that means.
I will
so you have to check that. I would say check during the prime.
I signed up. They gave me the equipment, and they said they'll give you 2 weeks free. They were like, just go do it. I was like, they're like, just keep your current internet. Like, see. So I actually did it for like 3 days, and I did test it multiple times, and I kept getting those speeds. And I was like, dude, I'm so sick of Cox Cable, dude. Like,
it's
the worst service. The prices are insane. They keep going
ridiculous.
Up. They're not. Like, it seems like internet's getting more cheaper everywhere except here in Las Vegas, where there is no competition. So I just canceled. I mean, if it ends up not working out, then I'll have to, you know, tuck my tail between my legs and go reactivate with Cox Cable.
And you don't have CenturyLink possible out there,
not
or
yet.
The WeLink, or
not yet.
And supposedly next year, I mean, granted, I mean, but hell, it's already fucking July 2025. I hear Google
Fiber
is supposed to be out here, but again, everything rolls out. It's not like it's here and everywhere in Vegas, you know, once it'll slowly roll out. But yeah, I mean, Cox has held on to this area for so long, and it's just so overpriced. I feel like they're just gouging us before they have no chance anymore. But yeah, if T-Mobile Wi-Fi was here, I would probably give it a try. And at those speeds, that's fine.
Yeah, right.
If you got that, you're fine. It's better than what I'm getting right now. And
you're paying for the gig.
I'm paying for they were raising the price up. And I was never able to get the 100 up. I was like, hey, there's something wrong. They tried to make me get their equipment. They're like, well, you need to buy a new router or something. I was like, bro, I used to get a gig up, gig down on this. I was like, it's not my gear. So they were wanting to raise the price up $30. So I was like, how about this? How about downsize me to the lower plan to keep my bill the same, which instead of a gig down, 100 up, it was supposed to give me 500 down and 50 up or something like that, But I was never able to get that. I was always only ever to get like 28, 30 up or whatever.
Right, right.
And I said, there's something wrong. They're like, no, get gear. So I was like, well, screw you guys, downsize me. They downsized me. Whatever they did to their system that sent the new signal or whatever on their back end, now I'm getting 600 down, but I'm getting like 50 to 60 up. So I'm getting faster speed downsizing it, which just proves that they're full of shit when they were asking me to upgrade and rent some new router because they're just controlling it. They're just throttling it.
Yep.
Whereas if it's a fiber and you have like a real synchronous connection, it's gig down, gig up, or whatever. But everybody, they just nickel and dime on that bandwidth.
That's
and
it.
Just for that reason alone, it makes you want to just hate them.
I switched just because.
For the principle.
Yeah, just for the principle of it, man. I was so pissed off. All right. Okay. we got the UFC to talk about. We'll talk about that briefly. Like I said, I was supposed
to be. Is there a fight this weekend?
There is. I was supposed to be at Media Day yesterday. Neither one of us were at Media Day yesterday. I was supposed to be at Media Day yesterday, but I had some extra work assignments pop up, so I had to put that to the side, unfortunately. So yeah. I will still be there on Saturday for the fights, and we'll talk about that. But I did want to ask you if you had a chance to see this morning, Conor McGregor and David Feldman hosted a press conference over in Spain for BKFC. And, man, looked incredibly well-attended. A lot of media in there.
Yeah.
We've seen the hype right now around combat sports over in Spain. We saw the influencer boxing event that sold out the stadium for Real Madrid. And now BKFC is heading over there as well. It was the first time that we've seen Conor and David Feldman host a press conference together. And I don't know. I wanted to, A, ask you if you got a chance to watch it, and, B, what your thoughts were. Because, man, I got to be honest with you. That's a perfect spot for Conor McGregor, dude.
Yeah,
he's so good at promoting.
Oh, I mean, that's what he does best. I mean, when it's not, especially when it's not something involving. Well, it's not like him having to sell a fight against something else. You
he
know,
doesn't
it's
just, have
it's
to.
An investment.
He doesn't have to be in a beef.
Look at how he sells Proper 12 and everything like that. He does a great job. He's a great spokesman. I did not watch it. I did see some little clips of it, and I saw some that our internal channels talking about a little bit. I mean, I was just looking at him personally. I was like, man, I was like, what weight class is he even at? I saw the video the other night. I was like, my God, he looked redder than Dana when Dana gets pissed off. I was like, what? He's on all kinds of stuff at this video or whatever. But I mean, I'm happy for him. Sounds like, I mean, he does a good way. He when he gets his excited about business and making money, you see him lighten up, and I'm happy for him because you could tell like he sees it as a business opportunity. He's going to try to thrive. I think he's excited about the opportunity of fighting something different, but he's got to get through the UFC contract. Yep. It's like, what are we, you know, I he's got what, two fights
two
he's got to get
left.
Rid of?
So he did make the statement. He said, look, I'm not just up here as an owner, you know, like I would love to be a two-sport world champion. He's like, he does have two fights left with the UFC, and you can guarantee the UFC is not letting him out of those two fights to go compete in BKFC. Yep. That's not going to happen. So he's going to have to get through those two fights first. So it's far too early to talk about him.
Buy out those? Is there a buyout clause?
Everything's for sale, right? You know what I mean? I don't think there is a buyout clause in the contracts that I've ever seen or read, but I'm sure you could sit down at a negotiating table and be like, look, you know.
What's it going to take for you to just release?
Because you could say, like, here's what – I mean, and it would be easy for the UFC to be like, look, here's what we would have netted off your two appearances. Yeah. If you want to give us the net of what we would have made, then fine. You could
walk.
What
do you think that amount would be?
Oh, my God. That's hard to say.
$50 million?
$50 million, yeah.
At first, I was thinking like 30, and I was like,
but I don't know.
But 50 would be a big number where he said, like, if he could say, because there's no guarantee of whatever, and injuries could happen. I mean, and if he could honestly never actually fight.
Yep.
And if he could say, well, you know, guys, what is it going to take just to make this go away and have us find a way that we can do something? Maybe I'll do some business or whatever. I feel like a number like that would make it work. And I just feel like, man, if. Who knows? He's got so much other stuff going on. But, I mean, maybe even 2 years or whatever, the BKFC can always be there. I mean, it's such a circus act.
Well, it's a couple of things. And listen, I mean, like, I've attributed this. I mean, I've talked to Mike Perry over the years. I've talked to Ben Rothwell over the years. I mean, I've talked to a lot of guys that have made the switch over to BKFC. And to a man, they all say, believe it or not, I can do this a lot longer because – I don't have to train grappling anymore. You know what I mean? Like, so that's where my knees and my back and everything were jacked up. Now all I got to do is run to stay in shape and practice my hands. I can do this longer. So Conor can definitely do it longer. And I remember when he first came part of the ownership group. Now, we still don't know the financial situation. We don't know, you know, whether he actually, you know, gave money for his shares. I'm sure they probably just, to be honest, and it would make all the sense in the world. There is no reason you wouldn't, as a business owner, just give Conor McGregor part of your company to come be a part of the leadership because of the magnetism that he has, because of the attention that he brings. You know, it would make all the sense in the world to just be like, bro, you don't have to put a dollar into it.
You just got
to
put his face out.
Here's 10%. It's yours. You're now part of this company, right?
So we said the same thing about Francis. Like, do you need to give Francis really even money to be the PFL's face, or just give him the opportunity?
Give him the opportunity, you know? Right? So, anyway, I remember when he first came on board, like I did a couple of interviews with like mainstream media and stuff, and they're like, "Do you think Conor McGregor will fight BKFC?" And I laid out the caveat: of course, he's got to get through his contract. But I believe he 100% fight that. I mean, that's in his heart.
Yeah.
He is that guy.
Like, he has the desire.
He
desire
has the desire
is there.
Yeah. Now, will the body hold up to get through these two MMA fights first, these UFC fights? And, listen, it's not a bad situation for him to get through the two fights. Because, like, normally what would you do? Like, you go negotiate with the UFC, right? It's not like you're going to sit down with the UFC and be like, well, here's my other options. They're going to be like, oh, really? PFL and Bellator are going to pay you this amount of money? Is that really what's going to happen? Now he has a real viable option where he can say like, hey, what do you got for me? Because if not, I own this company over here, and I can go throw a mega event. We've got all, you know, we've got everything in place. So it is a nice negotiating time. So he could get through two UFC fights and sign another UFC deal. I think he would at least try. I think he'd kick the tires on fighting a BKFC. I mean, I think he'd absolutely do it.
Well, especially, I mean, when you think about the unique factor of one being having an ownership stake where he's getting a percentage of that, but then he could also work out a purse for himself as well, which could be an obscene. If he, say, if he even has it worked out to where it's a co-promotion of BKFC and Conor McGregor thing, where he's
McGregor Sports and Entertainment,
where it's, he gets a 50-50 percentage or something off the top, and then there's the other little stuff,
be
you know.
Surprised if
I
he
mean,
does.
I wouldn't be surprised at all. I mean, like, I mean, the sky's the limit. I'm sure they, just like you said, who wouldn't want to go into business with him? I mean, if you're getting a little bit something over, just breaking even, it's worth it in their eyes because they know that the potential of what's going forward. So if it, if they're given 80% of the pie ultimately, but that 20% is enough to pay your bills, make the opportunity happen, and you get a little something out of it.
Makes sense.
They're like, yeah, let's do it, you know?
It's interesting. So one of the things is, you know, with Conor being attached to it, it obviously brings immediate legitimacy. I still
lots
think,
of eyeballs.
I still think there's going to be people that haven't watched BKFC yet that'll see it the first time and go, oh, shit, this is too violent for me. Like, I can't watch it. You know what I mean? I still think there will be people like that. So I don't know. I mean, MMA is not – mainstream. It's pretty mainstream now. Yeah. You know, it's pretty much. I don't know if BKFC can reach there, but they don't have to be. But it does feel like, I don't know, maybe this is that time where like, I mean, MMA is not controversial anymore, right? MMA is not like, oh, maybe you need that little edge. But this is, you know, this is that edge. This is the and I thought Conor did a great job. If you go back and watch the press conference, Conor did a great job of saying, look, I don't want to see our, and he basically said, like, former UFC fighters, I don't want to see former UFC fighters go to PFL or Bellator. He's like, that doesn't interest me. I want to see him come here. This is a different sport. Yeah. Test yourself in a different environment. He's, and he went out of his way, and I think it's great. It's branding and positioning. This is not mixed martial arts. This is not boxing. This is something completely different, and it takes a different kind of individual, and it takes a different level of whatever. And so, you know, it's, I'm going to be interested to see how this pans out because, you know, we talked about this from the very beginning. It brings a lot of potential eyeballs and potential business relationships. It's just going to be, you know, whether the brands can stomach it. Because, again, we've seen the data. There's, I mean, there's definitely more cuts and there's definitely more blood. There's not there's not any more serious injuries in any other combat sport. Nope. There's not
maybe
any
more
other
broken hands, maybe.
Broken hands, yeah. That's the limit. Yeah. But so it's not really like any more dangerous than any other thing, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't know. It just I don't know. Seeing it up there today, but like, man, they got something here.
And, you know, I mean, well, certainly, I mean, he's smart, but also, too, you know, when they're trying to reach out to UFC fighters and they're trying to reach out to people, he's reaching out to people that have already got a name. You know, it's one thing if just promoting, say you're just out of the box, I own BKFC, I need to promote BKFC fighters. It's going to be certainly a hell of a lot easier to promote somebody that's already been promoted on a worldwide scale as opposed to a brand new fighter that just has great knuckles
point.
And great boxing
great
or whatever.
Point.
So he's smart that he's, in a way, he's preaching to the guys that he used to be part of, like, guys, yeah, you could go there, but come here. Come here. You're going to make money. You can do whatever. But he also doesn't want to say, hey, I want to use your name that you've already established to grow this
sport. But it's
sport.
True.
But
right?
It is true.
It is true.
You know? But, I mean, it makes sense. I mean, we said before, anytime you take one of the opportunities out of the playing field, it's worse for our combat athletes that we love watching.
Right.
The more places that there are for them to go, whether it was Bellator, whether it was PFL, whether it was World Series, anything, that's an opportunity. There's something for them that they can actually make a living for themselves. So that if this is actually viable and they're open to the idea of taking some of these fighters and where they say, hey, maybe don't go off and to the, you know, and retire and just go away, here's another avenue. And if they're open to it, I mean, I think it'd be great. I mean,
look no further than this weekend. I mean, obviously Mike Perry, Jake Paul, look at, you know, Uriah Hall. You know, like, I don't know that Uriah Hall.
Oh yeah, I was Uriah. I think First in my head went Faber. I was like, Faber will never be KFC.
No.
He thinks he's way too pretty to
he's
be KFC.
He's way too pretty for BKFC.
And he's doing well with his combat jiu-jitsu. Yep.
Here he is. But like Uriah Hall. I look at Uriah Hall. Supposed to be Darren Till. Unfortunately, Darren Till couldn't make it in. But he's fighting Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. on this card. And I was kind of thinking about that, too. Like it's just that, right? Do I think Uriah Hall has, like, visions of grandeur that, like, he's going to be a world champion? Like, I always cringe a little bit when I hear Jake Paul, you know, say that, you know, he's going to be a world champion, that he can beat Canelo. And, you know, I'm not saying that in his
Give
heart.
Give him enough time. Maybe he can.
Maybe. But in his heart, I know he believes it. Yeah, when Canelo's like 60.
When he's 60 and he's,
at first, I didn't pick
I don't
up
know how
like,
old, I don't
I
know
like,
how old
really
Jake is right
good?
Now. I mean, maybe when he's 40 and Canelo's 60.
Yeah.
Know?
But I have no – and listen, I've always said, too, don't criticize a combat sports athlete for being a little bit delusional. Like, you have to be a little bit delusional to do what they do. But, yeah, like Uriah Hall, getting a paycheck. You know what I mean? Good for him. And going and competing and continue to do what they love and continue to do what they've trained their entire life to do, but to get a paycheck, even if they're like, I don't really necessarily want to be at the UFC level anymore, but I can still go compete and have some fun and make some money. Like, that's good. That's a good thing to me.
Canelo, so there's only a 7-year difference, so he's never going to catch up to him. There's not a big difference between the two. Canelo, Canelo's going to have that. But, I mean, you never know. Maybe Canelo.
7-year difference, that's not enough.
That's not the Mike Tyson difference.
Oh, man, the Mike Tyson fight.
But, I mean, going off to Jake, I mean, I give him a lot of credit. He's doing some great things, and I think he has got a great chance against Mike Perry as well, man. I mean, it's going to be a tough fight.
We're all cheering for Mike Perry, right?
Oh, I'm definitely cheering for him. Definitely cheering for him. But, I mean, am I going to be shocked if Jake Paul does what he's been doing to these guys? Not at all.
Jake Paul and his team have done a phenomenal job of picking the athletes that they're competing against.
And he's doing a hell of a job preparing himself. Yep. Like, when have we seen him go into any of these recent fights looking like a soup can or looking like a kid that didn't
do the work? He's a legitimate boxer.
Yeah. He's working his ass off. I mean, we've said it before. If anybody's just hating on the fact of like what he's – yes, we can get mad because it's like, yeah, he's cherry-picking his opponents. But, dude, that's boxing 101. Like, that's what they all do.
That's what you do.
That's what they do. You know, you get established and you work through these guys that are willing to take a fight that you could build your name off. And that's what this kid's been doing. But, man, he's doing the work, man. The kid's even when you look at how he looks now in the ring from when we first saw him, it's a completely different fighter.
Yeah.
It's a completely different fighter. So, yeah, I mean, it'd be good. I mean, but Mike Perry, man, he's no joke. He's tough as nails. He has heart for days. And, man, he talks equally. His shit-talking is fantastic. So
he's
like
the best.
Like, hearing these two, you know, jaw back and forth and hear Perry saying he wants to, what did he say, dig through his eyeballs and find his memories. I was like, dude, that's fucking gnarly.
It's funny. So doing interviews for Grind City Media, I got to talk to Mike Perry. Obviously, Mike's always great. There, it's not like working with Junkie where you're going to take out like multiple social clips or whatever. But the one clip that I pulled, and I love it, and I saw a lot of people resonate with, like, Mike is a great trash talker, but he also keeps it real, right? Like, he talks about – He told me about like how frustrated he was that him and Jake were on like an IG live or whatever, and they were going back and forth with each other, and then part of Jake's team got involved in the conversation. He's like, you stay out of it. Like, you don't talk trash. Like, you're not the one going in there and taking punches, so you don't get the right to talk shit. So you keep quiet and let us talk. And I thought that was brilliant. So
That's awesome.
I cut that out for social and thought it did a good job. Well, I didn't cut it. Actually, the great folks over at Grind City Media cut it out. I just identified the clip and they did the rest of it for him, so that's nice. So I will definitely be tuned in. I do think Jake Paul likely wins that fight, but I do believe, and I actually, I said this last week as well, but I do praise Jake Paul for taking this fight, because while I do believe, you know, obviously he's much bigger, much more experienced in actual boxing versus bare knuckle boxing, and should win the fight, it is a dangerous fight, and it's a dangerous fight with a Mike Tyson payday potentially on the line. So I actually do praise him for taking the fight. I mean, it would not hurt my feelings if the Mike Tyson fight didn't happen.
Yeah.
If the Mike Tyson fight does happen, I will be watching. There's no question about it.
Can we just hope that people forget about it?
Yeah.
Just forget about it? You know, put another fight in front of his face, and then What? Tyson and him? They were supposed to fight? What?
You guys, Junkie sending resources to that fight? You guys got anybody down there?
No.
No? Okay. I'm surprised. That's actually a big one.
Nope.
All right. UFC, you and I will be there this weekend. We didn't do media days. So we don't have any behind-the-scenes things that we saw this week. Don't think it's a big card, but I want to get your picks on it real quick because starting with the main event, I'm a little bit torn with this one, man. I'm liking seeing Amanda Lamos as an underdog there. She's definitely bigger. Yep. She definitely has better striking.
Yep.
She's definitely way more physical.
Yep.
But Virna Jandžihova just like is this tricky little grappler that refuses to go away, yep. that refuses to quit.
Yep. Lots of heart.
And lots of heart and just like finds ways to win fights that you don't yep. think she should. And so I'm a little surprised to see Jandžihova as the favorite. And I mean, it's very close. It's yeah. not very far off at all. But I'm struggling because I'm thinking of the size and the physicality of Lamos, and I'm like, I feel like she should able to be to bully Virna around a little bit. But yep. Virna has a way of not getting bullied and just surviving that and lasting until she finds something.
Yeah, I went with Lamos, but I mean, I can see. I mean, Virna. I mean, she like just like you said, she wins the fights that you don't think that she's going to win. Maybe they think that Lamos is going to tire out or something, and you know, and that Virna will just kind of wear her out somehow towards the end. Or, but I mean, yeah, I mean, Lamos is she's explosive.
So
she
big.
Pushes the fight. I just think that if she comes bringing like what we think, it should be too much.
That's
for
what
Virna,
I think too. That's you know? What I think too. I think Lamos is the pick here, even though she's the dog. Like,
yep.
I think. When you think of her and you think of the recent losses, that standing arm triangle to Jessica Andrade was a little bit embarrassing, right? And so I yep. think you think of that one and you're like, oh, my God, if Andrade did that to her, what is Jandžihova going to do? And I get that. That was one of those kind of weird moments. And you look yep. at the run that Jandžihova's on right now. Angela Hill, tricky,
yep.
you know, durable as well, has a decision over there. Marina Rodriguez, which would be – I guess stylistically comparable maybe to Lamos a little bit. Obviously more of a pure Muay Thai striker, but Marina is way smaller. You know what I mean? Like, they are two different body types entirely. And then Lupi Godinez, who's, of course, a different style fighter as well. So, I don't know. I'm thinking underdog here. I think I'm with you on that, Amanda Lamos.
Yeah, I mean, I think if – depending on what the underdog line is, I think that's a good underdog pick.
Yeah, I like that underdog pick.
Yeah.
Tough one here, right? How did you even pick in the co-main event? Because on the one hand, you got Brad Tavares, the longtime Las Vegas resident. I mean, the nicest dude in the world.
I don't want them to look at my pick.
And then on the other side.
I went Iron Turtle.
On the other side, it's your boy. I mean, that's, you know what
to.
I mean? You guys are talking Korean rom-coms. You're talking anime. You're sharing playlists with each other. I don't know if I'm supposed to share that with everybody, that you guys actually share a Netflix password so that you guys, because you find that the likes
when,
are just.
When my algorithm popped up, I'm like, oh, that was Turtle. Turtle's been on my Netflix again. That would explain it. That explains it. He somehow works my feed.
You have to be, there's no question in my mind that you are his favorite American journalist. I'm sure, like, in somebody that speaks Korean
is, yeah, he,
you know, they've got
something that speaks,
they've got
straight.
It. But as far as non-Korean speaking American journalists, there's no question that like he is, like, he perks up like Andre Arlovski. You know what I mean? Like,
he does get excited.
Like, when Andre comes in.
I equally get the same, you know?
Yep.
But, yeah, I guess I will take that. He's my Andre. He's my Andre. Even though we can't speak the same language. There's just something about his personality. He has this infectious little smile, man, that I wish I could understand, because I guarantee he's funny as all get out. But this was a tough one because Tavares, man, I mean, how can you not like Brad Tavares? I mean, he's got a lot of heart. He's tough as nails, and he comes from Extreme Couture, which was a very close gym to all of us.
Yep.
I hate picking against that gym. But, I mean, any of them, if they ever listen to this podcast, I'm just homering because it's Park. I feel like everybody and their brother is going to pick Tavares because they don't know who the Korean kid is or whatever. But, I mean, like, I love Park. I like both guys in this. Purely fight-wise, I do think Park has some really great power, and I think he's very, very tough. Tavares has power as well. But, man, there's some times after he gets caught that I think that I've seen Park is just – he just has a way. Once he hurts you, man, he just – swarms on you. I don't want to see Tavares get hurt on this one. I mean, it'd be great if this is just a nice, fun brawl that goes to a decision and one of them gets to the decision. But I lean Park on this. And it's, while I am homering, I do think he has a great skill set to get it done as well. I mean, he is tough. 17-6, not the worst of records. Not the best of records, but it's good. It's good. But when you look at that, I mean, I do like both players in it, but when you look, I think when a lot of people look at this card and they say, you know, how talented is this card? Is this the best co-main event in the world? No.
No.
But, I mean, it's a good co-main event.
It's a good fight.
You know,
Brad Tavares, Ultimate Fighter 2010.
Holy cow.
15 years ago.
That's crazy.
14 years ago, I guess I say. I'm trying to move us a year. But, yeah, 14 years ago. I remember because I moved to Vegas in 2008. He came out here in 2010. I remember he was working for Hawaiian Airlines at the time.
Wow.
And he used that to travel back and forth. That's how he got back and forth. And,
he's 36.
Yeah, and now he lives. I see him and his family like at that little regional park by my house.
Yeah.
Like they, I don't know where his house is, but he obviously lives around.
The park is dope.
I run into him at that park all the time. All the time, but I have run into him several times where he's.
Oh, yeah, you're over at that park all the time, though, right?
You know me, bro. I'm out there chilling at the park.
Hitting the.
How about the four pavement. Times I've been at the park? He was there like three of them. How about that? I've lived in my house for 12 years.
Park is dope, though.
It is a really nice park. They're about to expand it, too.
Are they really?
They're adding to it.
It makes sense because all the end, that space.
Cactus is now open all the way across now behind it.
Oh, so, wow.
Just for everybody that wants to know about Las Vegas surface streets and Cactus now goes east west. Steve Garcia, Sungwoo Choi. Man, this is a tough one too, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Steve Garcia is that dude just won't go away, and Sungwoo Choi can be dangerous as well. What was your pick on this one?
You know, now I look at it and I look at the records. I didn't realize that Tapology has him, Garcia, ranked much higher or lower, I suppose, backwards against Choi. But I think I went Garcia on this one.
Yeah.
But Choi, man, he's big.
He's big.
He's really, really tall. He's big for that weight class.
Garcia just refuses to go
That's
away.
It. He's just tough, man. And he just has a way of pulling things out. So I went Garcia, but man, if you're taking my picks, that I'm iffy on that one, but I did go Garcia.
Up and down this card, you know, you were talking about Miranda Maverick earlier and deal. It's crazy to see. I'm scanning up and down right. Miranda Maverick is the biggest favorite on the card at -230. At least these are the odds that are listed on UFC.com. I'm not looking anywhere else. I mean, a lot of competitive
matches. What's
the
odds on the Karolina Pudilova?
Almost a pick'em.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I'm surprised.
I can't even say it. Lucy Pudilova? They changed her name. When she was first she was Lucy Pudilova. Now she's like Lucy Pudilova.
Yeah, Pudilova.
She's competitive, man.
Oh, yeah.
She's very, very competitive. She's fun to watch fight. I don't think her record truly indicates how – I mean, she's tough as hell, and she's fun. But Luana Carolina, obviously, is incredibly athletic. That's a tough one, too. I might take Pudilova in that one.
Yeah.
I thought she beat Jocelyn Edwards. I did not think that. I thought that split decision was wrong.
Pudilova reminds me of this actress that's like this – she plays like these nerdy characters that's kind of cute. And I think that's every time I – but Felicia Day, there's an actress that – I should show you this picture. So there's Pudilova.
Right.
And then here's Felicia Day.
All right, now
Day.
We're pulling up Felicia Day. Okay. I don't know who that is, but I can see it.
She plays like a bunch of like cheesy sci-fi stuff that I love. And so that's why I think when I first time I saw Pudilova, I was like, oh, I'm rooting for this girl. And then she turned out to be not the greatest. And I was like, well, I still think
she's durable as hell. She's fun.
She is durable.
She's fun. Brian Kelleher, Cody Gibson, a couple old school dudes on there. Cody Gibson's very old school. I've always been for him. Bill Algeo, who came through CFFC against Duho Choi. That could be a fun
fight
as well.
That should be a good one.
Cody Durden and Bruno Silva, two guys that have kind of teetered on the outside of the flyweight rankings and back and forth and had some setbacks. So, you know, listen, we get it. I mean, honestly.
Kamaru's brother. I was a little surprised that that's the first fight.
I was a little bit surprised, too.
I was surprised. I mean, I don't know. When do they ever start with heavyweights? They never start with heavyweights. Mm-hmm. I just thought it was really odd because, I mean, like, Usman, I think, one, there was a point where obviously, if he wasn't losing any, they were pushing him. I think they were trying to push him. But pushing a heavyweight to start the night, that just surprised me. I don't know. I don't know the thinking about it. Maybe they just wanted to start the night off, or there's some reason. Maybe he's got a dinner date later in the evening. He's like, bro, can I fight first or something? Yeah, I mean, usually they try to put bigger guys for the main card or later on. I just didn't understand why they're starting so early on in the night, and that's the only heavyweight fight of the night.
It is starting out.
It's just interesting. Interesting.
I'm about to play this. Let's see. Hold on, let's see.
Lucie Pudilová. Lucie Pudilová.
That's not even
first,
her.
That's not her. That totally defeats the purpose. Actually, I had no idea her voice had gotten so deep. Wow. Things have changed.
That's Luke Pudilová. Luke is now in the men's featherweight, flyweight division.
Does that not defeat the entire purpose of having them say their own name?
Yeah, they're like, can we have the translator say it? Yeah, that's funny. We should tell them, like, can you go back and have them record that?
That is funny. Oh, I hadn't heard that.
Luke Pudilová.
You got the wrong guy.
But did he say Pudilová? He said like Pooja.
See, I think he said it different both times.
Lucie Pudilová. Lucie Pudilová.
No, see, idea.
The D-I-L is like J.
Pudilová.
He's like Pudilová.
Pudilová. Anyway, now what's playing?
Man.
What is that? Is that you?
That's you.
That's you.
That's you.
All right, well, we've gone completely off the rails. What else is out there?
That was on Luke's playlist there. I want to make sure we send speaking of Luke, Luke P. Preja, even though I wasn't –
Maybe –
is this Pooch? Is this Luke Pudilová?
It's Luke Pudilová.
And it's funny because I was a joke and I wasn't going to say his full name because, Luke, we want to thank you for renewing again for the year for the on the Patreon. We appreciate that.
Patreon.com/AMAROadshow. We just didn't want to butcher your last name.
Yeah, but funny enough, he's like, I just subscribed for a year, but don't tell my girlfriend. She's going to absolutely kill me for spending from her household fund. And I said,
That's fine.
As long as she doesn't listen to this when we thank you. But we were going to try to change the name. We were going to say Luke P, or we were going to just say something, but now we just kind of put you out
there. It's Luke Pudilová.
It's Luke Pudilová. Thank you, Luke Pudilová.
We appreciate it. Appreciate everybody that supports us over at patreon.com/TheMMARoadshow. We certainly do appreciate that. It's man, we've been doing this almost 10 years, man. It's crazy.
When I was looking the other day, because I was trying to go back, and I forget I was on Spotify or something. I was trying to just go back through some of the episodes, and I looked it up, and then on the calendar, and I was just looking at all these things, and I was scrolling, just pages and pages of scrolling, and I did the math, and we're almost at the 10-year mark.
Yeah, nine plus years.
In April will be 10 years.
Crazy, bro. Crazy.
Crazy.
My kid would have been 2 at the time.
Yeah.
Man.
It's been quite a ride. And
jobs have changed. Lives have changed.
Lives have changed. You know, but man, one thing is the same as the same, man. We've had a great group of people listening to this whole time. And that's why Patreon's so wonderful. Everybody has been supporting us. Because, I mean, I know we keep wanting to push more and more and more, and with busy lives and everything. I know you've been torn and stuff. And it's like it's always on the plans to keep doing more. And the support that everybody shows us, it's like keeping that, like, I subscribe to a channel on my Roku that I don't think I ever watch. And so it's like you're giving to us, you know, and just forgetting that you're giving to us, you know, and we appreciate that.
We appreciate it.
You know,
it helps cover the cost that
it
we
does,
have for
you know,
this,
I mean, especially
we love doing it.
Yeah, things start to, you know, definitely start to add up, you know, because the cost of everything, the cost of hosting, the cost of, like, everything definitely goes up. And it's not like we ever really bitch or talk about
that. Cox Cable's
fault. Just the cost. Yeah. If it wasn't for Cox, everything would be free. but, no, it's appreciative. So anytime you guys reach out to us, I saw somebody else jumped on there's a Discord. If you guys didn't know this, for the top tier, there is a Discord channel, which most people are like, what is Discord? Discord is like a online chat thing that a lot of gamers use. And actually, it's built into Patreon that for the top tier, it has access to this Patreon. So if you sign up for that, it actually, my phone, it tells my phone. So somebody signed up the other day and it said, so-and-so has joined the channel. There's nice. Like 3 of us now on there, but I haven't really said anything. But like,
we've never really talked about
it. That's like the access. Yeah, we haven't really talked about it, but that's the access. And then that's what the great thing about Patreon. You come on there and you chat with us, we're going to chat back with you. And you know, and the Discord was just another one. Not that I'm asking everybody to get on Discord and ping my phone at all hours, because Morgan said he wasn't going to put it on his phone, but I do have it on my phone. but it means a lot. But I mean, that's what it's there for. You guys want to put your questions on there, we'll get to them. We'll respond to them. That's what it's there for.
For sure.
And
you
got direct access, and we will give more. We will do more. It's in the plans, like it always
is. It always has. There's been some times of transitions.
In 9 more years, I promise it'll be
there. By the time we hit the 20-year anniversary, this place is going to be bumping, bro. Don't you? We'll have it figured out by then. We might be doing video by then. No. It'll be like, by that time, it'll be like holograms of us, like in your house.
I'll plug you into the chip that's in the base of my brain at that point.
Oh, that's great. All right. Well, listen, we appreciate everybody spending some time with us. Like I said, not a big UFC weekend. But
when's your family get back?
Monday. Oh, yeah. I've been by myself.
I know.
It is.
Oh, I meant to say, like, I haven't seen any crazy tweets.
No.
I feel like when we addressed it the last time, we said, you know, watch the Twitter.
I had a couple of days early on when they left, and then I was like, this is not sustainable. Like, I'm not going to lie. I went on a couple-day bender,
Did you even make it upstairs to your bed, or were you just a couch? Just
couch? I've slept on the couch all week. I haven't even. Yeah. No, I stayed downstairs. Like, there's no reason to go upstairs.
That's awesome.
I go upstairs in the morning to get ready, and then I come back downstairs, and I don't have to take the dogs up and down and all that. We just stay down there. But it's weird. It's a weird thing, right? Like, I'm an only child, and it was just me and my it was just me and my mom, and so like we had a. Like, I don't know, our house was kind of quiet, you know what I mean? Like, it just, we didn't have a big family. So, like, I do appreciate, like, a little bit of, like, without having my wife and kid, like, a little bit of quietness, a little bit of peace. Like, I actually do appreciate it a little bit. Like, it's like, I could just kind of decompress. And I have found it's weird, like, my stress level, I always want to take care of them. Like, I always want to make sure that, like, you know, I don't know, like, I just think about them all the time, that, like, everything's good, and so, like, not having to worry about, like, what's their schedule, do we have dinner planned, do we have this, do we have that, you know, all that stuff, like, what's the, you know, where does everybody need to go, let's make sure there's something entertaining tonight, that, you know what I mean, like, taking that stress away, I will say, is nice, and so I gotta, when they come back, I gotta figure a way to change my mindset to where I can still not feel that stress, so it's nice. But, like, after, like, a day or two, I'm just like, but that's who I talk to, like, that's who I interact with, you know what I mean, I'm just like, it's weird. It's bizarre. So they're having a good time in Mexico. My wife sent me a clip of my kid ordering from a server in Spanish. And,
What
I mean? Like, he's getting real practice. And they went to go visit her family in San Luis Potosí, where they live now. But then they actually went to the town where my wife grew up in Tampico, which is on the beach. So they went to our childhood home, and Eli got to see, like, where she grew up. And,
that's
like,
awesome.
And they're hanging out on the beach, and so he got to see all that.
That's
so
cool.
It's cool. So he's having a good time. I think he was a little worried about going to Mexico because, like, the language barrier and everything, even though he knows a little bit of Spanish. Still, you're 12, you're a kid, it's scary, you know what I mean? But it sounds like they're having a good time. But they're back on Monday, and my life gets back to normal. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, you still got time for one more bender.
Okay. Yeah,
I had to really twist your arm on that one.
I had a couple of days where I'm like, why is it 4 o'clock in the morning right now? Like, I probably need to go to bed right now.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can't do this for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't good.
But at least you stayed off the Twitter.
Yes.
That's good. There's been no random tweets.
No, I haven't. No, I've been
good
the last couple, since like the last week or so. Like, I haven't. I've been going to bed on time. And, just, you know, being responsible.
There you go. Mr. Morgan, Mr. Responsible.
Mr. Responsible. That's good. So, all right, listen, enough about that. Appreciate everybody sharing some time with us, as always. We will have an half this weekend. We'll be inside the Apex on Saturday, so we'll talk about everything that happened and all that good stuff. But anyway, enjoy your time. Maybe you're watching more boxing than MMA this weekend. That's okay. I get it. We're cheering for Mike Perry. I'm not going to lie. We're cheering for Mike Perry. So if you want to watch that, I totally understand. We'll catch up on the UFC in the meantime. Thanks for listening. Ha 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 ha!